We spoke about this morning. This morning I spoke about priorities. So just add one more word to it. The fascinating Chasam Sofer in this week's parasha. If it wouldn't be that the Chasam Sofer said it, we would have trouble believing the pshat. He says, the pasuk says, "Hamechasani me'Avraham, should I hide from Avraham what I'm going to do? That I'm going to destroy Sodom? Ki yedatev, because I know that he's going to command his children after him." So Chasam Sofer writes like this: Avraham Avinu. Am I going to hide from Avraham what I'm going to do? I know that he's going to command his household and his children after him. So he says that Avraham Avinu did not reach the level of Nevuah, of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, of Yechezkel. Avraham Avinu wasn't on their level of Nevuah. Strange thing to say, but Chasam Sofer writes it. Why, he says? Because you see, he didn't know what was happening to Sodom. You look that these Nevi'im, they had Nevuahs about the Umas HaOlam, about the Goyim, even if it wasn't a Ger to Klal Yisrael. So Avraham, if he was on a high level in Nevuah, he should have known himself what was happening to Sodom. Why did HaKadosh Baruch have to go and tell him? So he said he didn't reach their level. How come Avraham wasn't on the level of Nevuah of Yirmiyahu HaNavi? He says, because Avraham Avinu, he was busy with their Nefesh HaSa B'choron, with his family, his Mekarev with them, working with them. And in order to reach a high level of Nevuah, you have to sit alone, spend a lot of time thinking, learning, working on yourself. So he couldn't build his Madrega up to the level of those Nevi'im. He sacrificed himself. He knew what his priority was. He sacrificed his own growth in order for Nefesh HaOsa B'choron. That is knowing what your priorities are. And because of that, he didn't know about Sodom. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the whole reason he doesn't know is, Hamechas ani me'Avraham, should I hide it from Avraham? The only reason he doesn't know is because I know he's busy with his family. That's why he doesn't know, the Pasuk says. So Avraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to tell him. Even though on his own he doesn't know, I'll go and tell him now, even though al pi nevuah he doesn't know it. Tremendous chiddush, this Chasam Sofer. Okay, Ksav Sofer speaks about why is it that the tefillah of a choyla is better than any person's tefillah for him. Rashi tells it to us that Yishmael's tefillah was listened to more than the tefillahs of other people. And it's important a choyla should daven for themselves. That's the greatest tefillah. Why is that? So he says, the reason is, on the post, by Yishma Hashem is Koil Hanar. So he explains, the reason is because he's davening with more kavanah. The more you put into your tefillah, the more feeling, while Gosh isn't a tefillah, the more it's listened to. And there's nobody who's davening more for a chayla than the chayla himself. That's why his tefillah is so important. And that's why his tefillah gets listened to more. But then he says, but that is also why Hamispal bal chaveroi, you daven for somebody else, your tefillah is listened to. If you daven for somebody else, Hamispal chaveroi, and you need that thing, Hamispal bal chaveroi who tzarach leisadava, who nena tchila, you get answered first. Your tefillahs get answered. What you need, you'll get if you daven for somebody else. And we see that Avraham davened for Avimelech, and because of that, next pasuk is Vashem pocket Sarah. Sarah became pregnant and had children because of Avraham davening for Avimelech. He davened for somebody else. It's so powerful. And he says, why is it? He says, the fact that a person sacrifices and he doesn't worry about himself. And he stresses the point, he says, that people make a mistake. You get people coming around and saying, you daven for me and I'll daven for you. And they will both be Amispal Bad Chaveroi. Ksav Sofer says that doesn't work. Ksav Sofer says the whole reason why it works Amispal Bad Chaveroi is that Amispal Bad Chaveroi, you're davening for your friend. That's called davening for yourself. You're not davening for a friend. You're davening for him, that you should have a Yeshua. It has to be davening for your friend. When you care about him, you need it, but you need it for him, not for yourself. Then it's chila. That's when you get answered first. I'm going to share with you a story, beautiful story that took place. There was a bocher learning in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And this bacha wanted to do chesed, he had time. He wasn't the world's biggest masmid. So he had time for chesed as well. He didn't want to waste his time. He needed a break. So I'll do chesed in that time. So he wanted to open a gemach. So he looked in the yeshiva that had gemachs. And any gemach he could think of was already taken. A gemach for pens there was. A gemach for paper there was. A gemach for hats for davening if you don't have your hat. A gemach of a jacket for davening. Any type of gemach you can think of in yeshiva, somebody had already opened. So he wanted to, what can I do? And then he came up with an idea. This was the days before Kippur Ta'ir. So he said he heard that if you daven 40 days at the Kaisel in a row, your tefillahs are answered. So he's going to make a gemach. He'll be mispal for people 40 days in a row. You can come to him, he'll be mispal for you. So every 40 days, he would take one person who he designated, he dedicated his tefillah for, and he would daven for other people at the same time. But there was one, this one the tefillah was for. So one day, his chavrusa comes to him and says to him, I hear you daven for people, and my sister, she doesn't have any children. She's married a while already. Perhaps you could dedicate the next time 40 days for her. Says, sure. So he gave him the sister's name, and he started davening. And it was a big mesiras nefesh to go every day. Every day he went to the kaisel, every single day for 40 days, to daven. And there were times he forgot. It was already late at night. He would rush there to the kaisel, get out of bed and go. Tremendous mesiras nefesh. And he did it for 40 days. And he did it for other people. A few months later, his friend comes to him, and he tells him, your tefillah's from a kubble. My sister's pregnant. So he was very happy. And then life went on. This bacha learned in yeshiva a couple of years in Eretz Yisrael, and then he went back to America. The years went by, and eventually he went, he got married, he had his own children, his children grew up, and now his daughter's going out on Shidduchim. So his daughter went out with somebody, and it worked out. The mamas, they're about to get engaged. It was a boy from Antwerp. So the parents flew in from Antwerp to meet with him. And they're sitting down and they're schmoozing with him. And both of them, it was their first child getting married. And they felt a little uncomfortable. They didn't have much in common. And they were both excited about the shidduch, but they tried to make conversation. So they mentioned him and asked him, where did you learn yeshiva? They asked him, this is the father of the girl. So he says, I learned this yeshiva. And then she says, wow, that's so interesting. Maybe you knew my brother. My brother learned his yeshiva. Who's your brother? She says, yeah, of course I knew him. Because you know, he was once my chavrusa, your brother. Then all of a sudden he starts thinking, one second. Her name, he knew what her name is, and he davened. He davened for somebody, Sarah. He davened for this Sarah Bas Brindle. He davened for her. He makes a cheshbon with the years. And this is, his daughter is getting engaged to their son. And he makes a cheshbon that this is the boy, Zeh Hanar Asher Espalalti. This is the boy that I davened for. He davened for her, and now his tefillahs were answered. His daughter is now getting engaged to their son. HaMispar Bal Chaveroi Unen Etchila. The Malbim tells us in this week's parasha, Rak Ein Yerushalayim B'Makom Hazeh. There's no Yerushalayim over here in this place. And Avimelech came to him, and he comes to him with tainus. And he says to him, this is Perek Chof, Pasuk Yud Aleph. He says, why didn't you tell me it was your wife? You have to remember that this Mokum, where Avimelech lived, the Ramban says, was Tam V'Yosha, was an upright place. These were good people, Elocha people. So he comes to him with tainus. Who do you think we are? We're not lowlifes like Mitzrayim. This is a good place. Why didn't you tell me it's your sister? You got me into such trouble. So Avram answered, Ki Amarti Rak Ein Yerushalayim B'Makom Hazeh, sells the Malbim. What was Avram saying to him? He was saying to him, if you see a people, or you see a person or a nation, Shu Philosoph Godel, great into philosophy, very ethical people, V'chokak Loini Musim Yeshorim, they have very upright laws. The hirugil zatzman, the midas toivis. They act with fine midas. But why are they acting with the midas? Al pi sichloi. They realize that's the correct thing to do. They do mishpat at stoker, according to their seichel, what should be done. Bekol zeh, he says, loy nuchal liftoyach alei sheu, you cannot trust that person, oy ha'omahu, or that people, Bishas to see Seu Taivas Lysisra. When they get a taiva to do evil, it won't help all their philosophy. When they want to do something, it'll go out the window. It's their seichel telling them to do right, but their hearts are not with them. The only way to conquer your taivas, he explains, is with Yerushimayim. Rak ein Yerushalayim b'makom hazeh. It doesn't matter how upright you are. There's no Yerushimayim. You cannot trust people like that. And that is why you could have even taken my wife for yourself. This Malbim was said over by Rebbe Chonon in Germany, right before World War II, a couple of years before. The people in Germany got very angry about it, and they said, what are you talking about? This is a land of culture, civilization, high moral standing, science, technology. We're not some backwater country. We're not from the Middle Ages. Jews aren't at risk in here. He was trying to tell them, you have to worry. They wouldn't accept it. We're protected by the law, they told him. They didn't get his message. Rav Yitzchok Huttner learned in Slabodka. There was a person, Rav Avram Elia Kaplan, who came back to yeshiva after spending some time in Germany. The Alt of Slabodka asked him what were his impressions of Germany. The German people, what did you think of them? He says, they're a kind and refined people. When you ask directions from someone, he'll give you precise instructions and he'll say to you, Nishtvar. Nishtvar means, isn't that so? They're so polite. It's like humility. Isn't that so? I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure of myself. Every statement they would say to you always ended off, Nishtvar. Isn't that so? They're such a humble and wonderful people. And he says they're a refined people. The Brochim Slabodka started arguing. Some agreed with him, some didn't agree with him. And the Alter Slabodka said it's not true. He says, you cannot trust anybody, again, like this Malbim says. There's no such thing. Very often it could be a superficial covering for a dark interior. But this person stood by him and what he said, and he said, no, they're wonderful people. Nearly 50 years later, Rav Huttner was saying a shir in Yeshivas Chaim Berlin. An old man walked in. He sat in the back, waited till the shir was over. He came to Rav Huttner. He says, you don't remember me, do you? I'm that Bochen Slabodka who went to visit Germany. I was the one impressed with the Germans. Rav Huttner says, yeah, I remember that discussion back then. It's good to see you. He reached out to give him shalom, but there was a hook there instead of a hand. He said, I lost the hand in the concentration camps. And when the Nazis were sawing off my hand, they said to him, it's hurting you. Nicht wahr? The pain is intense. Nicht wahr? Such humility. So kind. Even when they sent people into the gas chambers, it was always, please step this way. Such mention. Rak ein Yerushalayim b'makom hazeh. Without Yerushalayim, you can't trust anybody. I'm not sure if I mentioned this to you before Rosh Hashanah, but it's in this week's parasha, it's worth mentioning again. That the last slichas that we say on Erev Yom Kippur, we've been saying it 2 weeks of slichas, and the very last slichas, we end off with, we say to Rabbi Shalom, we have come but Seil Karosi, in the shadow of your beam. We've come into your house. What is that loshen? B'tzeil karosi, I've come in the shadow of your beam. B'tzeil karosicha, in the shadow of your beam. And that is the last slichas. That is our last plea to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where do we see those words of B'tzeil karosi? We see them this week's parasha. That Lot is telling the people of Sodom, they've surrounded his house, Al tasu dava, don't do anything to them. Ki al kim bo'u b'tzeil karosi. They have come in the shadow of my beam. And Rashi says, what does that mean? They're my guests. My guests, it's not covered for me if you treat them badly. Since they're my guest, I'm asking, leave them alone. I mean, in other words, afterwards is one thing. But right now they're my guests. Don't bother them. They are betzel karos in the shadow of my beam. We come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu right before Yom Kippur. We've been through Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Meitshuva. It's our final plea before Yom Kippur. And we say, Rabbi Nishlam, we have come betzel karosich in the shadow of your beam. We don't know what we deserve. Maybe we're not deserving of rachmim. But we're betzel karosich. It's not covered for you if something happens to us. When we are in the shadow of your beam, when you're in your Beis HaMedrash, we come to daven, we come to learn. So then, even if we don't deserve it, you have to take care of us. Us covered for you, you have to take care of us. But that's only when you come to the Beis HaMedrash and you treat it with respect. That means you're not schmoozing to your Harusa the whole time in the Beis HaMedrash. That means you're coming on time to the Beis HaMedrash. You treat the Beis HaMedrash with dignity. You don't sit drinking from bottles of soda out of the bottle in the Beis HaMedrash. You don't sit there walking, coming and going the whole time. You treat it with respect, then you can come with this tiny. Treat me well, because I come betzel krasicha, in the shadow of your beam. There's an interesting medrash on that it says in by Duchening. The pasuk says, "Kois avaruchu es bnei Yisrael." This is how you should bench Klal Yisrael. And the medrash says, "The schus." What gives us the bracha from the Rabbeinu Shlom, these brachas, Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmarecha? Koi savarchu. Is that lashon of koi? We see koi. Koi yigizarecha. We see a lashon of, in this week's parasha, Ani v'hanar badakeda, neilcha ad koi. We're going to go to where we're going, lashon of koi. Koi soyim alaveis yakev, but matan teira. We see this lashon of koi in three places. What is it trying to say, the Medrash? These three kois, they can bring us bracha. The pshat is, if a person is mekayim the pasuk, koi yigazarecho, is looking to raise his children in the same way he is, to raise his children correctly, in the ways the yigid should, a way a yigid should grow up. Koi yigazarecho, that's what you're looking for, you get the bracha. But that's not good enough. You just want to raise your children like that. What about you yourself? Many times we've spoken how you have to be a role model. Ani v'hanar neilchad koi. Not just my boy, but v'ani v'hanar. I'm also going to go and act in a certain way that my son, my children, can copy me. They can go my footsteps. But that's not good enough. If you just have the father as a role model, you also need koi soim ala beis yakev. Beis yakev is the women. If the women also have to go, they have the mother also as a role model. And then you're zoicha to the bracha berachas koinim. We see, very quickly, that the Akedah is called Akedah Yitzchak. It would seem to be Nisoyin of Avraham. Many Yidden gave up their lives on Kiddush Hashem. Obviously, in one aspect, it's also Akedah Yitzchak. What did Yitzchak do, which was so worthy? So the Chasam Sofer says, from Yitzchak we can learn what it means, Emunas Chachomim. When a Novi has a Nevuah, you don't see it clearly. Only Moshe Rabbeinu spoke directly what's called Istakel Baslakariam Ira. He saw things with clarity. Every other Novi sees a Moshel. And from the Moshel, he understands what's happening. Or the Sfarim explain, it's like seeing things through a fogged up window. You see it, but not clearly. Avraham had a Nevuah. And we mentioned the Chasam Sofer earlier. His level of Nevuah wasn't the top level. So he had a Nevuah. So what does that mean? He had a Nevuah, he has to shecht his son. It's not so clear. Comes along and tells Yitzchak, Yitzi, we're going now, I have to shecht you. Now, Yitzchak says to him, how do you know? A Nevuah. Nevuah. You learn right pshat the Nevuah? Maybe, tell me over the Nevuah you saw, maybe I'll understand it differently. It doesn't make sense, the Nevuah you saw. The Rebbeinu Shlomo says that you're going to have children. I'm the only child you have. He means me. So let's discuss. Tell me over the Nevuah and let's work our pshat together. Tati, maybe you learned wrong pshat. He doesn't say that, Yitzchak. Yitzchak says, that's the Nevuah you got? No problem. I'm coming with you. You see, the unbelievable Emunas Chachomim. That is the lesson you see from Yitzchak. Okay, we'll stop there. Good Shabbos.